Hello everybody, this is Curtis from Tremble, letting you know that we are brought to you by Shudder. Shudder is the horror movie streaming service that brings you all the latest and greatest that horror has to offer. But you don't have to take my word for it. You can use TremblePod, that's TREMBLEPOD, when you sign up for an account. This will give you a free 30-day trial on us, so you can check it out for yourself. With that said, let's get on with this week's episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Coronavirus 2020. No, just kidding. Tremble, the horror movie podcast. I was kidding. Although I'm sure there's some people who are like at home right now in isolation listening to this podcast. So, if that's you, sorry, that sucks.
But we're here to entertain you, though. So, I mean, thank you for tuning in.
And you know. Thank you for not leaving your house and infecting people. That's the big thing.
That is the big takeaway right now is, you know, like, don't buy into the hysteria of loading up on toilet paper, but like, do know that there you do have a level of involvement in this whole infection pandemic world that we live in now.
Yeah.
Everybody does. It just doesn't matter who you are. Yeah. Everybody has a level of involvement now. It's global. It's a worldwide thing now.
Yeah, it's like Plague Inc. Where, I was reading up that people were playing Plague Inc. trying to like figure out how it's all gonna go, and it's like, yeah, I don't think I need Plague Inc. to tell me that we're fucked. So,
no, we've all seen those maps turn red.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just saying before we went on, like, this is how 28 Days Later started. I mean, this is, we've seen this movie before. Like, I mean, fucking Contagion. Contagion is like, Steven Soderbergh is a fucking prophet.
Yeah.
Because watching that movie, it is so, it's so valid. And I would argue that the virus in Contagion is deadlier than the COVID-19 is at this point, but I mean, as Taylor said before, we were talking, it could mutate person to person, so we don't know what the final result is.
Hopefully it just means that we all can just stay at home and watch horror movies. That would be great.
Yay! Woo! Hopefully they don't cancel my Shudder account and I can continue as well.
Due to coronavirus, there's no more Shudder. Like, fuck.
Oh! Man.
Guess I'll
have to watch. We just become friends, Shudder. How do you do that?
Friendship canceled.
I'll have to resort to watching D-grade horror movies on Netflix.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the ones that make Sharknado look like Citizen Kane. So,
this movie's on Netflix, though. This movie is a Netflix movie, isn't it?
Yeah, that was my segue I was going for. I was like, yeah, but you know what? This one's a good Netflix horror movie.
Damn, is it ever?
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
I mean, usually if I've seen a movie, one of our picks, like within recent years or whatever, or I know it quite well, I, you know, will rely on my memory of it to do this show. Babysitter, I watched last night again. I was just like, oh no, this is gonna be fun again because this is crazy. This movie is insane.
So much fun.
And I don't know, are we still on pace for the sequel in 2020? I think it's done, right?
Wait, there's a sequel? I didn't even realize there was a sequel.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think I saw Belle of Thorne on set doing it. I don't know. Because, I mean, that girl makes, like, 8 movies a year. Like, she's a machine.
It's listed on the director's letterbox page as The Babysitter 2.
Yeah.
But I don't see any other information, and I don't see, like, a poster or anything for it.
No. I don't know how Belle of Thorne comes back.
Yeah, cause she got shot in the head, so...
Like, she has no head anymore. Like, it's gone. Like, we saw skull fragments on Judah Lewis's face. Like, she's dead.
Must be a prequel, because you got Robbie and Mel back. Haina May Lee and Samara Weaving are all coming back, so...
I'm okay, then. I'm okay, then, with that. That could be really interesting, actually, because, I mean, this movie never tips its hat to, I mean, A... like, I know we haven't gotten synopsis yet, but A, how old B is. Mm-hmm. And two, what the book really is. I mean, it kind of looks Book of Dead-ish. Like, it looks kind of like the Necronomicon, but, I mean, is it? We don't know. We don't know anything.
My guess, this is, I'm going to call it right now. This is how it's going to happen. The blood got mixed accidentally and hit the page, and Samira Weaving, as she was dying, was able to make her wish, and her wish was to bring everyone back.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. I mean, because, you know, if people haven't seen this movie, there is an extra tiny little scene at the end of the first credit roll.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I hell yeah, that could be it. I would totally be on board for that.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
That's the only thing I can think of is, like, maybe there was some way that she was able to mix that blood and it still worked in some weird mm-hmm. way. So,
yeah.
But we're not talking about Babysitter 2. We're talking about Babysitter 1. Babysitter 2, maybe we'll talk about it eventually if we all survive coronavirus. the official summary of the babysitter: when Cole stays up past his bedtime, he discovers that his hot babysitter belongs to a satanic cult that'll stop at nothing to keep him quiet. I just love the scene of them in the living room and him watching them and them just stabbing Samuel in the head. And to be fair, I've been to parties where there's been a Samuel, like that awkward dude that you're just like, why are you even here? So it was like, oh yeah, of course that would be the guy that would get stabbed in the head.
It made me feel sad for my high school self.
I was like, you know what? I think we all know a Samuel. You know, that guy that's just awkwardly there, and you're like, oh man, you don't
belong. I mean, and he was smart too. Like, he almost backed out of that whole thing.
Yeah.
Until she was like, no, it's okay. So he could have gotten out of that, but oh well.
So Steve, you chose this movie. Why should people watch The Babysitter?
Because it's fucking insane. This movie is fucking insane. I mean, the genre switch immediately in that spin the bottle scene when they stab Samuel in the head, like, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That scene's fucking nuts. I mean, the pop culture references throughout are absolutely amazing. Like, I adore just how beefy it is with all of these references. Everybody's so good in it. I mean, the gore is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I really like this movie, and I can't believe it's from the same guy that did the Charlie's Angels movies.
Yeah. McGee, like, who knew he had it in him? And
absolutely,
because I definitely didn't. I was like, oh, McGee, oh yeah, this guy, okay. What was the first time you guys watched this movie?
Probably the Netflix premiere that weekend was the first time I saw it, which I guess would be 2017, like mid October, I think it would have been.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw it when it came out on Netflix. I think didn't see it right away, but like shortly thereafter. I had heard a lot of buzz about it. And the great thing about Netflix is if somebody is giving something buzz, it's not that hard to just go, okay, well, I guess I'm going to turn this on. So.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't watch it as soon as it came out on Netflix, but I was probably just scrolling and saw it and went, ooh, a horror movie, and then turned it on. This was probably over a year ago at least.
Mm-hmm. We got a couple emails here. First is from D says, watch this for the podcast and was pleasantly surprised with McG at the helm. I expected a second rate slasher flick, but it was surprisingly self-referential. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would say don't sleep on some McG, but I kind of feel like you can slightly sleep on McG because he doesn't always show up, but
no,
when he does, he does. And he's pretty good.
Look, I don't hate Terminator Salvation. I know a lot of people do.
Yeah.
I don't hate that movie, though. There's actually a lot I really dig about it. I like the Sam Worthington, Marcus Wright stuff. I think it's kind of interesting. And I don't know. I really dig Anton Yelchin as Kylo Reese. I thought that was great casting.
Yeah.
I mean, rest in peace, Anton, who would have been 31, I think, a couple days ago.
Yep.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, that's super sad. Oh man, the work that Anton Yelchin would have produced later. I mean, Mm-hmm. Look at the stuff that he was doing leading up into his death, like fucking Green Room. Give me a goddamn break. That movie is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And I mean, Fright Night. Come on.
Oh, yeah, I love that movie.
So good. So good.
Yeah. I don't know. Just I think with McGee, he's a popcorn film kind of maker. And he makes things that are entertaining. And you know what? Sometimes they just aren't. You know, they're designed for the masses. But I think because he was working with Netflix and he kind of knew, like, audiences, whatever, like, there's no way you're going to have a huge box office smash on Netflix. I mean, it might do well, but I don't know. I don't think we ever know how well anything does on Netflix, but I think maybe, you know, him knowing that, like, he wasn't going to have, like, the number one box office hit of that week kind of freed him up to just have fun with it. And I think it probably worked out better for him in the long run, so.
And the guy came from high-level commercial film, commercial making and music video making, right? Like, I mean, he did the video for Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Yeah.
As well as doing Sugar Ray's Fly. So, I mean, and he did some videos for Korn and stuff like that. Like, the guy's always been kind of like a high level, like, small video maker. And then, you know, 2000, of course, he makes his debut with Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
I still have a soft spot for that movie, too. I don't know if I should admit that, but I do.
I haven't seen the new one, so I can't compare. But, I mean, the 2000 one definitely has, I think it has its spot in the pop culture of the 15 years surrounding that time, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's a good, goofy movie. That's all.
I mean, his Twitter bio says the one unforgivable sin is to be boring. And I feel like you can't say that about McGee. He is not boring.
No, you can't. You can't. And there is a pacing of his movies that doesn't allow you to be bored at any point of his movies.
Yeah.
I'd say the only one that he strayed from that was the football one he did, though. We Are Marshall with Matthew McConaughey. But that was him, I think, stretching into a different direction. And hell, it didn't work out. I don't think the movie's bad, but it just didn't do well financially.
Yeah. All right. Patrick asked, did we ever find out why his shirt was off? I don't think you need to know. I think he's just like,
there is no point. And I think that's the joke.
Yeah.
The joke is, he even says it. He's like, why is his shirt off?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That was really great. He asked like three different times too, and nobody ever gives him a clear answer. No, but
no, I believe, Allison does. And she's like, why not? Look at him.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't need an explanation. Robbie Mell is in a fucking incredible condition. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, no, it's fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, just let him do it. You know, I bet you there was a point where, like, he was going in for costumes or whatever, and he just took his shirt off, and they were like, you know what, let's just keep it like this. Like, we're good. Mm-hmm. Put some pants on him, and we'll call it a day.
Save some money on the costume budget.
Yeah, exactly. best line in the movie. I think everyone will probably guess what mine is.
Oh, it's the Jason reference.
Yeah.
As soon as that happened, I was like, oh, there's Kurt's line. I knew it. Like 100%. Like, I knew that was going to be the one.
Yeah.
Oh, man, there's so many great lines in it. I love they're making their super cruise.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an endearing part. And then to bookend the movie with that, it's... Yeah, Brian Duffield, man. The guy wrote a really freaking great script. Like,
yeah.
This one 100% was made for horror fans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so perfect. But I don't know, John getting the cop's blast of blood to the face again and going 3 out of 4 people got an STD. I got 2 people's blood in me. You know, you do the math. I got AIDS. I know I got AIDS.
That was good. Also, they start killing cops and he's freaking out going, I gotta get out of here. Y'all are killing cops now.
Yeah.
I liked pretty much all of Bella Thorne's lines were good too. She says something about people always doing human sacrifice. And she's like, yeah, but not like in America with hot people. And it's just the delivery of her lines is so like, I don't know. It's like Valley Girl-esque almost. And it's just perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, especially the Fredo line. I know it was you, Fredo. I know it was you. Allison's like, was that Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bella Thorne's got some great lines.
So good. So good. I Robbie Amell's cocky delivery of lines too is really great. Like the one of my favorite parts of the movie for sure is when Cole blows up Sonya in the crawl space, which off screen you can hear her go, "I'm not dead," and then boom, and
which is great.
So funny. But then Max is like, "Do you just blow Sonya up?" And he's just like, "No." Just, way to go. Like, he's happy for him.
Oh yeah.
I know. I like that he's always trying to like not show that he's done something bad. Like, he's so good at heart that he can't even be like, I didn't blow her up. Or, like, even though he's being encouraged almost to it, right?
Yeah.
I like the fact that Max is still trying to help him grow as a man at the same time as trying to kill him.
Yeah. He's like, basically a big brother, basically.
He really is. It's so confusing.
Like, he's like, I kind of have to kill you, but I also want to see you grow as a person.
Yeah.
I like, he talks about giving him a man's death too, I think, right at the end. Like, you shouldn't have to die like this. It's not fair. Like,
you shouldn't die with egg on your face. And then he ends up dying with egg on his hands. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Best performance. Archie, I guess, is there any other lines that you liked or?
There's so many, but I'm gonna go with that John line. That one, all of those lines in that cop scene are all John's lines are so fucking great.
Almost every single piece of dialogue in that scene made me laugh out loud. Mm-hmm. There's a line that Bella Thorne says where she after she gets shot in the boob that she's like, "Can't we just stick a tampon in it or something?" Ugh, like, it just made me burst out laughing.
As far as last lines go, I don't need a babysitter anymore.
Pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it with movies that Samara Weaving's in and them having great final lines?
Right?
Does she just look at the script and just write that at the end? Like, I don't need a babysitter. They're like, perfect. In-laws, you know? I don't know. Well, except for Guns Akimbo. That movie was, even with her in it, there was no saving that movie.
I'm so disappointed about that.
Yeah.
Especially because Jason Kyle Loudon really fucking just killed his career over this movie.
Oh, yeah.
He shot himself in the face, in the foot, in the neck. Like, he's fucking done.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody ever producing one of his movies again.
No. And this movie bombed. I mean, it would have probably bombed even without him doing what he did. But, I mean, nail in the coffin on that one. But, yeah, best performance in the movie.
This is tough. This is tough. I love everybody in this movie.
I'm gonna say for me it was Ken Marino just because he was.
Like, but he's getting the hand job in bed.
Yeah.
Like, did you put the knife in the dishwasher?
And he's like, and he's talking to his son about Mad Men. He's like, it's just dense. Like, it's a dense show. We'll watch it later. You know. I don't know, like, he really was, like, I mean, Ken Marino's hilarious anyway.
Always.
I forgot he was in this, though, so I was rewatching it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, right, Ken Marino's in this. And he's fucking hilarious, like, when he's teaching him how to drive and all this, and, yeah, it's, you know, he's like, you know what, I'm a cop, I feel like donuts, and they just start squealing around. Like, he's the perfect encapsulation of that idiot dad, you know?
I'm saying now that we have to bring Bad Milo in the future.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, I would gladly talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other performances stand out?
Samara.
Yeah, that was going to be mine, too.
I mean, how easily to turn on the head being the dream girl, like that 80s, 90s movie dream girl, and turning her into the villain in a single moment.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. But like I said, it's hard because everyone's so fucking good in this movie. Everyone is so good. There's not a wasted performance in this movie.
No,
honestly, it's so fucking well done.
Even the girl's dad, the guy with like the douchey car, like that dude's not on screen for long, but he's fucking hilarious.
Steals it, steals the movie. Oh.
Oh man, holding the hose at his crotch when he's like staring across the street.
And he's just like, oh man. It's like a music video. It's like one of those night. It's like a Stacey's Mom music video, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's so crazy. I also, I thought when I watched the movie that it was Ella Purnell, but the that neighbor across the street, Emily Allen Lind, she was in Dr. Sleep. She's Snake Bite Andy.
Oh yeah,
I thought it was Ella Purnell in that movie, but no, it was this girl, and I just had no idea.
Yeah, she seemed very familiar.
So. Yeah, I was like, where do I know her? And I looked it up. I'm like, oh fuck, okay. Yeah. I was so confused by it. According to IMDb, Babysitter 2 is in post-production.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was filmed.
Yeah, that will be big when it hits Netflix. So, and that's the nice thing about it. You know that it's going straight to Netflix. So there's, you know, you don't have to worry about trying to catch it in theaters and catching coronavirus. So.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
Now all we have to hope is that the movie's actually good.
Yeah, it's not written by Brian Duffield. This one's written by Dan Lagana, who did American Vandal, did that entire series.
So
I like that actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to have that self-referential because I don't know if you haven't seen American Vandal, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
Very self-aware, which I think.
Yeah, which I think bodes well for a second Babysitter movie.
Yeah.
Especially if you've seen a lot of like real true crime documentaries, it's good to go in with that perspective to it because it's so well done.
Also, we haven't talked about the big news of this last week, which was Scream, the reboot, getting the Ready or Not directors. But I'm just saying, if they don't get Samara Weaving in that movie, they fucking failed everybody.
Yeah. Well, she's got to be getting pricier and busier.
Yeah.
Well, not right now, but you know, you would think that she's in a higher demand now because I don't think anyone expected Ready or Not to do what it did last year.
No.
I guess Guns Akimbo is going to be a stumble. Apparently, she's the better part of the movie.
Oh yeah, she's the best thing in that movie. But
okay,
that's
which is sad because I love Daniel Radcliffe.
That's not saying much. That's like taking like, you know, like some really bad cheeseburger and sprinkling like the world's best bacon on it and being like, you know what? This bacon is the best part of this burger.
She's the villain, right?
Yeah. I don't want to spoil it, but yeah, there's some complexities to her character for sure.
Okay. I know she's on coke and she's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she has no eyebrows.
Yeah, she's got a different look in that movie. Best kill in the movie.
Oh God, this is tough too.
Yeah.
I mean,
for me it'd be Robbie Amell. Like, I just love him. Like thinking he's got the upper hand the whole time, and then in the end it's his own cockiness that gets the better of him as he just falls down. And yeah.
But, I mean the cop with the poker through the head.
Oh, that was great too.
It's so fucking good, and especially the rip out of the skull, just to break it out of the skull. Oh. I mean, fucking crazy.
This movie seems like it was made for this award. Like, it was almost really like they were like, you know what? Let's just fuck with them and give them so many great ones that they're gonna never be able to choose. So
yeah, I can't decide between the one where the award goes through the guy's neck,
or even just
the first one where he gets the two knives in the top of his head, like, and she does like the. She has to like stick the other one in a little bit further to just really get it in there. Like, those are both super gory and super good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Hannah. What's her name? Totally lost what her character's name is in it. Hannah Mae. What the hell's her name? I'm spacing on it now.
I've closed the cast list, so I can't remember.
Sonya. Sonya's death. In the crawl space, just it's so funny. It is just really funny because, especially when she's like, "You fucking miss," then blown up, and she's like, "I'm still alive," you know, and then boom, just that extra is just so funny. But I mean, John's death is so cool because it comes from something so dumb.
Like,
it was such a dumb accident that led to his death.
Mm-hmm. I mean, almost everything other than him spraying the stuff underneath the crawl space, but I guess he didn't even mean to blow it up. But, like, all of the deaths that he's involved in technically are accidents, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Like, even Robbie Amell's death, he's falling and he accidentally just gets tangled up in the rope, basically, right?
Yeah.
So, none of those deaths are really his fault, but they still happen because of him.
Yeah.
Just and John's head hitting the banister before hitting the, you know, the award.
Oh yeah.
It's just so fucking gross looking.
Yeah.
And I thought that would be like when you're in that scene, you're like, oh, he hit his head. Oh, never mind. That he's definitely dead. That award went right through his neck.
Yeah. That was great. Any other kills worth mentioning?
It's Bella Thorne's death. We already brought up Allison's death. Her head just basically disintegrates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy looking.
Yeah. Maybe that's why we haven't had a trailer. I'm thinking they're probably going to hold the sequel close to their chest. Like, I really hope there's no trailer for it. They just dump it on Netflix.
That's what I hope too. Because that would be a very nice day.
Yeah. Like, you don't need to give us much. Just dump it on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dumbest decision in this movie. I mean, probably not running out of the house when you see a murder happen in your living room is probably questionable. Like, he goes to call 911, and I'm like, come on, dude. Why don't you just, like, peace out, get a cab, book an Uber, whatever, get out of there. Like, he goes the weird roundabout way of staying in his home still, and I'm like, I don't know. I would have just peaced out a long time ago, but...
Yeah, go get a neighbor. Go get an adult.
Yeah.
But it's the most assertive thing he's ever done as a character at this point, though, right?
Yeah.
True.
So... This is the beginning of him becoming the final boy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
This is the first glimmer to the him not needing a babysitter.
Yeah, and I think it worked well that they had him. Like when they show him coming to that realization that like this has all happened. Like things kind of get a little blurry, and you can kind of like feel that sense of confusion he has. So that worked well. But of course, logically, I'm like, get the fuck out of there, dude! What are you doing?
Yeah, I guess that goes a good way to show that he's probably just freaking the fuck out, right? And his first instinct is just to call 911.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and what do you do when the person you trust most on the planet turns out to be complete fucking evil?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the only person he trusts, right? They establish it. That's what's the, I think, if the movie wasn't so funny, it'd be heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Because that assertion is really sad once you think about it.
Yeah.
Well, and he brings it up at the end too. He's like, I'm 12, but I'm an adult because when I saw that you were a bad person, I did something about it, you know? And they had that whole talk at the end where, which was oddly sentimental. Like, it almost makes you feel bad for the person who is running around killing people because they actually seem like they have some sort of connection happening.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think it's time to give this a rating. What would you guys give this a rating of?
This is a 9 out of 10 for me. It is so much fun. If you're grading the movie on just having a good time, I don't think you can go wrong with this movie. I mean, it's funny. It's got some spectacular gore. It's just intriguing. And the pacing, it never lulls for a second. And we already talked about how that's kind of McGee's style, but... Oh my God, this is his crowning achievement. This is the best thing he's done in his career.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think I have to agree with a 9. Like the characters are good. It doesn't shy away from the gory bits, which, you know, some horror it's like there's nothing basically. They give you nothing.
Yeah.
This is just like overall just I agree with Steve. Super fun, super entertaining. It's not obviously a crazy masterpiece of cinema, but if you're just sitting down to have a good time, this is definitely a movie for that.
Yeah. It's a good time overall. I'd give it like a solid 8 out of 10. I really enjoyed it. I think I would have just liked maybe like another kill or two or something like that. Aside from that, it's pretty good. The mark of a good movie too is you want more, and sometimes you want more than that same movie, but at the same time too, it's like they're making a sequel, so I'm sure they'll flesh it out in the sequel. But I didn't even realize they were making a sequel, so I learned something new today. So.
Yay!
Oh, there's a plot for Babysitter 2.
What is it?
2 years on after surviving his deadly babysitter's satanic and murderous cult, Colt is trying to move on with his life and is now attending high school. After the unexpected return of the cult members, Cole has to rise to the occasion and outsmart the forces of evil. So basically, cool. I called it when I said the blood mix and fate worship.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if that happens, 100%.
It's perfect. Yeah. It's perfect. Yeah, it's perfect. And I from what I understand, the new little girlfriend's going to get a bigger role in this movie.
Okay.
So I guess it's them two against the cult now. Yeah.
Oh, cool. That sounds cool.
Yeah. Cool. Steve, where can people find more of your stuff?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at the Steeple Dead, on Letterboxd the same, which I keep pretty updated. Until the 30th, I guess next week would be my last one. I'm going to be on the Linda Steele Show at 2:45 on Thursdays, just until the end of March, and then I'm not going to be on that show anymore because they're going in an all-news direction. But you can still find me nationwide on The Shift with Drex at 11 p.m. Pacific every Thursday.
Nice. How about you, Taylor? Where can people find more of your stuff?
Pretty much just social media, which is Instagram, Twitter. My username is Cercianic and Letterboxd, but I'm not super up to date on that, mostly just with our movies we talk about here. So
yeah, a lot of times, like, I like reviewing movies, I'm always like, I should log in on Letterboxd, but then there's times I watch like a movie and I'm like, oh well, I'm not reviewing this, I won't go on Letterboxd, and I'm like, I should have done that, I should have logged it. I'm over at threeingrinners.com. I'm Fatal Koala on Letterboxd. Fun story about that. I went to Australia once and I asked a dude if koalas could kill a man. He's like, yeah, they're fatal koala, man. And I was like, oh, cool. So that's the story behind that. Somebody asked me once, but like, why fatal koala? I'm like, I don't know. I found out koalas could kill people. So that's kind of cool. And then I'm film critic Kurt on Twitter. So, I don't know. Who knows? Who might want to? Who wants to tweet in these trying times? You know, keep it to yourself. I don't know. I don't know. All right. Until next time, everyone. Bye for now.